Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Tuesday, December the 23rd, 2025, and I have the honor to have Joe on with me, and we're just having a conversation here. Now, Joe, you go ahead. I'll let you lead it.
Well, you and I were talking about cell phones and how they can turn on and off your cell phone or your iPhone. Or they can deplete the charge. I had mine being charged last night, and all the plugs were plugged in and checked. But when I got up this morning to make a phone call, I was down to 3% energy. I said, "How did that happen?" Because I checked everything. Everything was checked. So it goes to prove they can, if they want to, they can come in and do what they and deplete everything off of you. And as you and I have talked about, it comes back to the Innslaw incident and Maxwell and Epstein and that whole scene. And it comes down to where you talked to Bill Hamilton and how he got stolen by the Israelis. And now the Israelis are sitting on top of cyberspace over in Silicon Valley East, which is in the desert, way out in the desert. And they it makes the rabbis mad because they work on Saturday, and that in Judaism that's supposed to be a day of rest. So it marches on, and then of course Israel went and did some bombing again of Iran, and so that's going to continue on. It's not going to stop. The idea is maybe sucker Russia into a war by freezing their assets in the European communities worth billions of dollars. And Putin has said he's not going to put up with that. That is an act of war.
You know.
So maybe when they do a peace treaty, supposedly in January, maybe that's not
going to
come about.
You know, Joe, the U.S. seized a vessel. They've been seizing from Venezuela, these oil tankers. They seized three of them. The third one they seized was a Chinese vessel. Chinese vessel. The Chinese are pissed off about it. That was yesterday.
You know, I think what this is it's the Israelis that are behind this because of BRICS. And the Chinese and the Russians are colluding, and they seized a lot of the Venezuelan oil.
Now there's another item that I saw yesterday or this morning on the news that what's Jared Kushner's partner, Wyckoff? Is that his name?
Yeah.
He's working for the administration to sell the oil leases along the Palestinian coast. Mizell already has several of them across there. Larry Mizell, Denver, the Illuminati, the Knights Templar, the Fallen Angel possessed. But that guy's in charge for the administration to lease some, to sell those that oil leases along the Palestinian coast. Like they're going to build condos in there and sell.
Yeah.
God. Kushner.
They're going to turn that into the Riviera of the Far East, of the Middle East.
Yep.
They want to turn the Gaza Strip into a big resort.
Yep. Killing all those people. War crimes. Now, I also saw that the Trump administration is intervening in the world court to try to bring these charges against Israel for war crimes. He's actually intervening in Israel's behalf to kill the war crimes in the international court.
Yeah.
That's Trump.
Well, You got to remember, who's around Trump and who controls Trump. Jim Corsi said it, Dr. Corsi said it a long time ago. Who is MEGA, spelled M-E-G-A, not M-A.
Not Make America Great Again, but M-E-G-A.
Yeah, M-E. And I don't know what it means. But the guy that started, as I've said before to you, Les Wexner, Victoria's Secret. And Les Wexner is heavily connected to Epstein. And those are Jewish billionaires.
By the way, it came out about Soros funded Hillary Clinton's campaign of a false Russian dossier.
Oh, yeah.
Soros funded it.
Both sides of the fence, as we've discussed on many occasions.
Yep.
But, you know, again, here's the key. If you hadn't come along and gone on your talking tour of explaining what was really going on concerning Leonard Melman and his connection to Meyer Lansky and Murder Incorporated and Larry Mizell, who is the present head of probably Murder Incorporated or a subsidiary of it.
He killed 150 people with John King.
Well, you figure also what Otis told you, that Larry Mizell is possessed like Leonard Melman was.
Yep. He said whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years. Now is inhabiting Larry Mizell because he was the chosen one. And I said, why was he chosen? Because of all the murders he did. And he would do anything for him. Remember, he controlled Silverado Savings and Loan, Neil Bush, Iran-Contra money laundering.
Going way back.
Yep, BlackRock, Blackstone. The government can confiscate those two bank entities because they were created with drug money. And I can prove the drug money. $1 drug money in a corporation or through an individual's hands, the government can come confiscate all your assets.
Yep.
There's $100 trillion they can confiscate from Larry Mizell's group in Denver that I can prove the assets. Go ahead.
Well, I also can, down here in Phoenix, there's been an explosion of the population on homeless people. And I would say 80% of them are not of color, they are white. And what that means is there's no affordable housing.
Plus you're
there's
running.
There's housing, but there's none of it is affordable.
No, it isn't. And look at your situation with your water supply. Down there in Phoenix, you're drying up.
Yep.
Unbelievable. You know, right here, Joe, I cannot believe this, but you know, we took a deep freeze the last week or whatever it was, and we got down to 5 to 7 degrees at night, a couple nights, and cold in the daytime, but it's been hovering around 40 degrees or so. Nah, we're breaking records. We're going to be in the 60s in Kansas City. Normally this time of year, we're down in the 10 to 20 degree range, and snow's on the ground and everything. We're having 60 degrees today, 60 tomorrow. We're having 60 through Saturday. Christmas, we're having 67 degrees, they're calling for. Weather modification. It's just gone bat. They've gone bat crazy with this. Look at the wind speeds. 125 mile an hour wind speeds across four states three or four days ago. Western part of the United States. In Kansas alone, they reported 2,500 or 2,300 wind gusts of up to 100 miles an hour in Kansas from about Topeka West. I mean, weather modification. And Dane Wigginton said, Geoengineering Watch, and he's got 4 billion hits a month. He's very popular. Now, Dane used to have a show on my network with Gene Chip Tatum, before Gene had to leave the country and close the place down, take the server with him. But here was the point. The Dane has been doing excellent work for years. He said here about a month or two ago, he said the weather, they have taken it. He says it's beyond this. He says it's supernatural. He says the weather, no longer can they control it. He says it's out of control. Totally out of control. They're trying to control it and bring the, you know, the jet stream down and do different stuff, and they're still doing it. But it's this star coming at us, dark star, whatever you call it, black star, dark star. Now I hear it split. I heard yesterday.
They have what's called the three-eye phenomenon, and they don't know what it is. It could be a QAnon kind of thing. It's going all around the area.
They believe it split yesterday. They believe it split.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like QAnon. I think it's just another psyop.
It might be.
Because, boy, it's acting weirdly. And as Ed Slade said to you, and I was on the other end of the room when he said it, we've been on the moon, this country, nobody else, this country has been on the moon since 1962, and we have been on Mars since 1968.
Yeah, my uncle developed moon landing, the Apollo. He was the engineer for Rockwell that designed it, that landed on the moon. He was down at Cape Canaveral when he blasted them off. He said they landed and came back. John Lear said that. Now, I want to mention something because I think it's important, and in case someone missed yesterday's or missed the program. There's things that Stu Webb and Daniel Schwartz, RE FBI troll, Debbie Davis. Now, click on that and listen to the first audios with Paul Reisinger, whistleblower in South Dakota. I've had him on many times over the Indians. Now, he came in contact with Debbie Davis. He knew her. He knows she's a nutcase. I called him yesterday and asked him to talk about, because he was up there, because I was renting Debbie Davis's house for $300 a month. Now, I paid her every month on time. I paid the utilities every month on time. There wasn't any problem. I was actually fixing up her house for nothing, as I physically could do. And I changed a few things. And it looked great. Now, I never stole anything. She made a video that said I squatted in her house, that I stole from her, that I did this, I did that. Never did it. Now, everything was fine until Debbie Davis says, "Oh, Stu, I want to give so-and-so, he's a black guy, homeless. I want to give him my car that's in the garage." I said, "What?" She said, "Can you dig it out?" She says, I want to bring him up here, and I want you to come down and pick him up down here." And I forgot what it was. I was in a little town, and it was about 60 miles away to go pick this guy up. So I did, when it was time, when we did it. And she bought lunch. Anyway, she snuck into the estate with warrants for her arrest. She's got two warrants. Debbie does. For illegal activity against, one was against the police. Now, she goes off. To understand who she is, she was in the Army, National Guard in Arizona, and they found out she was a manic depressant. She was going off on people. And so they analyzed her and they kicked her out of the Army. They discharged her honorably and gave her $2,200 a month retirement. But she, on condition that she has to go to a VA hospital and be analyzed on the first of every month so she can get her medication for being a manic depressant, of which she does not take. Instead, she goes home and drinks a 6-pack to 12-pack of beer every night and starts ranting and raving and going off. Now, Joe experienced it when I was up there, and here's why. I and a neighbor she used to hire, and she told me to hire him because I could not get this garage door open. It was a sliding door on an old garage. and I couldn't get it open. So Stephen had to come over and dig it out, and I kept pouring hot water on it and digging it out. I couldn't do it because of my back and neck, but he helped get that door open. And then we got a battery. I drove down and got a battery and the whole bed out of my own pocket for that car, and it wouldn't start. It was done. Anyway, she had a second vehicle that somebody gave her, a little Pontiac Grand Am, four-door. It was sitting outside the garage in the driveway. I'll give him that car. Get that one running. I said, I owe Steven right now for, you agreed $25 an hour, and I'm paid up on my rent through the end of April, and this would mean that out of my pocket, I'm paying you rent in advance to pay him. No problem, Stu. Take it out of my rent. Okay. So, it ended up $250 or something like that, paying Steven to help me get that other car going, and to go down and get this freak, and to get the proper battery, and the whole bit, take that other battery back and get the proper battery for this Grand Prix, or Grand Am. The guy stays at the house that night. We get the car running the next day. It's about 5 o'clock. Now, Stephen had earned his $250, and he was paid. That was out of my $300 rent. I owed her $50 in rent. The $300 in rent, plus the utilities, were paid already in advance up until the end of that month of May. Now, I didn't take anything from her. I didn't steal anything from her. This guy leaves. He drives that car out. No license on it. He didn't have a driver's license, we found out. He runs it off the road going to in Dakota. Somebody pulls him out of the ditch. In the meantime, before they pulled him out of the ditch, he calls me. And he says, oh, I'm freezing. My phone's dying. Stu, hook up the police. Have them get a tow truck out here and get me out here. I'm freezing. He called me twice. I called the cops twice. They said, we can't find him. They're looking up and down the highway. Anyway, so then he is caught. Someone pulls him out of the ditch. He drives to the gas station. Cops see his car and they pull in there and see no tags on it, and they arrest him. They arrest him for not having a driver's license. He was thrown in jail. He bails himself out the next morning with cash. He's homeless. No driver's license and no car, no insurance. I mean, they probably hit him for $500 bond. I don't know. But he calls me and tells me, can you come get me? I was thrown in jail. I said, no, I'm not going to come get you. I'm going to have to think about this. Because I didn't want anything to do with him to begin with. He's a freak. So then Debbie Davis calls me. He says, oh, Stu, I'm going to have to bail my car out. It's going to cost $600 and blah, blah, blah. And I'll bail it out. I want you to go down and pick it up and take it over to a hotel room. A hotel. I said, no, Debbie, I'm not going to do that. There's no tags on it. It's illegal, and I don't have insurance, and that's your problem. I didn't put it in the ditch. I didn't get arrested. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to go get arrested in your behalf. She went lunatic after that. Lunatic on me. She called people up several times, and Joe, you remember. She called you up, and I never gave her your number. Somehow or another, she's getting people's numbers. It's because she's working for FBI. Now, a friend of Otis's told me, as he ran her, and said she's working for Division Number 5, FBI as a troll, like Otis, like Ted Gunderson used to do. Gunderson pretended to be a patriot, but not. So I wanted to bring that up because I posted a conversation with Paul last night. I made it with him. But I posted the audios, and here's what happened. Debbie Davis calls up, or she doesn't, Daniel Schwartz, so-called filmmaker. Bennett took videos of me several times, several locations, including up there in Paul. He took videos of Paul up there in South Dakota. Heard the whole story on Debbie Davis because Paul told him. He's supposedly a filmmaker, but yet there's no film or no documentary made after 4 years. I believe he was working for Larry Mizell and sent in to find out what I knew so he'd have most of the stuff on tape that maybe they did not know that I was aware of. I believe that's what it's really about. But out of nowhere, he calls up Charlene, because Charlene's a friend of mine. And she happens to be a nurse, and she's very patriotic, and oh, but she helps me with computer stuff also. He calls her up. He calls, because he talked to her one time when I was up there in South Dakota on the phone, when she called me, when I was having Paul there, and he was there, and Steve was there, the neighbor, and the whole bit. And anyway, we had conversation. What am I trying to say? Oh, with Charlene. So Daniel had talked to Charlene in the past, so she thought he was a friend of mine. Oh, he was okay. He's doing a documentary on Stu. Out of nowhere, on the first of the month, the second, I decided to change phones, folks, because I'd been being spammed so hard with 30 and 40 phone calls a day, and I know what it is. I have to turn the phone off each time. Then they turn around and hook back up where they're hooked into the phone. And I figured out they're radiating me through my phone. So I said, this is it. So the second of the month of December, I changed my phone number around 12:01 p.m. I turned my phone off because I had to go to the doctor and run other errands, chiropractor. So I turned my phone off, which I always do when I'm driving. Just shut it down. I did. I came back, and I see I got a message from Daniel Schwartz. And I see that someone had spammed my website, or spammed my phone, but it was already blocked, the spam that came in. So I decided to run the spam. It ran to the FBI building in Kansas City, Kansas, downtown, right on their network. That's Division Number 5 spying on me. Okay, so I got them for spamming me. And it said spam, already blocked. Already blocked. So I caught him. Now here's the deal. Debbie Davis did not have Charlene's number. Nobody did. Because she just changed her phone number 2 weeks before. So nobody had it besides me and a couple other people. Debbie Davis didn't have it. But yet she calls Daniel and tells Daniel, oh, find out if Paul Reisinger's dead or not. He's the whistleblower on Indian reservations. And she and he don't get along anymore. He knows what she is. She's a troll. But she had infiltrated him at one time. She talked to him, and that was the extent. He never met with her. Now, he talks about that in that posting on Debbie Davis that I put up. But she demonized me. She reported to the police that I stole her car out of the garage, the one that was in the garage. The police came out, and I had to crank the door open and get Steven over there to help me ice down again to show him the car, and so they could get the serial number off of it. And she told him that I stole and did damage to her house. They came in and examined it. There wasn't any damage. It was where I had fixed her house up. She said I stole stuff out of her house. I never stole anything. I don't steal. Now, that was three reports to the police that were illegal. So the third time when they came out and the car was in the garage and they verified it, so she's making false reports. They said, we can see that. I said, I want to file charges against her for false reporting that I stole her car. They said, we can do that. So they did. I had to go down to the police department and meet with some female down there, sergeant or whoever she was. A couple days later, and I filed charges. So Debbie Davis has a warrant for arrest for claiming that I stole her car, which they found it was a false report by her. Okay? Anyway, Debbie, good luck to you, because you're cooked. You're cooked. You're cooked. Because Division Number 5 is cooked, as far as I'm concerned. I'm through with them. I'm through with their games, and I caught them. Joe, you want to make any comments?
No, it's just that there's a lot of people out there, particularly when they suffer from depression. You get this outrageous behavior.
Well,
that was a story of the other person that you knew that was a friend of the Charlene, the one that's out in California, turned out to be the same thing.
Yep, and the deal is the government hires these people. They know, because they're paying them pensions. They're paying them to stay home because they're declared nutcases, okay? And there's a lot of them in these low-income housing units, FHA and stuff, where they claim that they're mentally incompetent intentionally just to get a paycheck. A lot of them, but a lot of them are fucking fruitcakes. And what they do is the government says, okay, you're collecting $1,000 a month, you're on disability, or $900 and some odd they pay you. Okay, now you're on disability, how would you like to be part of the neighborhood crime watch? Okay, and we'll pay you for anything you come up with, plus we'll pay you so much a month. And then that's what they do. But they also come to them with oh, well, you're making all this noise, we want you to cut Stu Webb's nuts off, okay? Put something out there really discriminating against him, whether people believe it or not. Just put it out there. She did this in August of this year, Joe. And she did two more, being so stupid, videotaping herself where she is nearly arrested two different times. Take a look at the videos that are underneath that link and listen to Daniel Schwartz. Remember, this is the guy. He didn't have Charlene's number. He got it from who? Debbie Davis. Where did she get it from? Government, Division 5. He calls her because I changed my phone number. And they got to have my phone number. So he calls that number. Since then, folks, I changed the number again. They cost me $30 changing my phone numbers. Joe?
Well, that's... I call them... They have what they call and developed during, I think it was the 90s, called InfoGuard. And it gave civilians a chance to become an informant. Remember what Janet, what is her name, that developed, if you see something, tell something. And it was developing a snitch environment. And that was InfoGuard. That is probably what Debbie is. It's kind of like an InfoGuard kind of person. And those are, they're loaded out there, and I've seen them as far as monitoring people, and people think that they're being followed, and they get suspicious, and they turn around and try to figure out what's going on. It's InfoGuard. And they're taking statistics down, they fill out a thing, a form, and they turn it in. And so it's, they have their snitch.
Yeah, they've got them.
Civilian snitch.
They've got them all across this country, and people don't realize how bad it is. And on top of it, how bad it is with your telephones. Oh my God, the telephones and computers are just... They know everything, everything, everything. How you breathe, what you do, when you crap. I mean, they know everything. They're monitoring you all the time. If you're in your bedroom making love, and you got your TV in there, and it's off, they're sitting there watching you and listening to you. They've had that capability for a long time.
Yep.
So, all I can say is, we've got to change things. And one of the most powerful ways is prayer, folks. Jesus Christ is sitting there watching this whole thing, God Almighty. And it depends on you, whether you get on your hands and knees and start praying. Okay? Because we're in trouble.
Let's hang on to that, because we got to cut this down and get in the high sign. So I got to get off the phone.
Okay.
And we'll talk later about Peter Thiel and the surveillance state and Trump.
Okay. Sounds good, Jill. Thank you for doing this with me.
We'll talk.
We'll talk. Have a good one, folks. Have a good one, Jill.